Unlike most mourners at the Rotunda, Bill Boyarsky had a personal relationship with the former president. Boyarsky covered Ronald Reagan for the Los Angeles Times when he was California's governor and followed his career for decades. Boyarsky is the author of the book Ronald Reagan, His Life and Rise to the Presidency. Day to Day's Alex Chadwick talked with him yesterday.
The one thing I never understood about Ronald Reagan, I was in Washington for almost all of his presidency as a reporter, I never really understood how he got to be president, why he wanted to be president. He didn't seem to have that kind of thing in him that is so often seen in Washington.
Ambition. He was ambitious. I will never forget a moment that, you know, many others had seen during the 1980 primary in New Hampshire. There was a debate in Nashua between Reagan and George Bush, who had what he called the Big Mo, coming off his victory in the caucuses in Iowa. And it was Reagan and Bush, and you know how these debates are, several other people who were running. It was put on by the paper in Nashua. And Reagan wanted to get Bush one-on-one. Well, the paper, in the manner of newspapers, felt it would be fair to have everybody there. Bush, not wanting to give Reagan the spotlight, also wanted the paper's plan. They were there on the stage. Bush stood up, and he said that he wanted everybody to speak. It's democracy. Reagan said, "Sit down, George." It was one of those incredible moments, man to man. Bush sat down. Well, Bush was never the same. Reagan went on to win the nomination and the presidency, and I saw toughness and raw ambition that night.
In the community of journalists who covered the Reagan White House, it seemed to me there was always a divide, and I don't think it's settled to this day, between those who thought the guy was, as he was often described, an amiable dunce who kind of wandered around the White House not quite knowing what was going on under the control of the supposed puppet masters of the Reagan administration, and those who thought, no, this is a man who knows what he wants, he has clear principles and clear ideas, and he's going to carry them out. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I think that, his great failing was that he had no patience or mind or interest in details, and he was interested in broad principles. And so in the White House, he came down on the side of which we now know as the neocons. I mean, militant anti-communism, it was part of his life going back to 1946 and 1947, back to the days when Hollywood was divided over the Blacklist and the Hollywood 10.
You interviewed Ronald Reagan extensively for your book. Is there just a moment you could tell us about that you thought, this is quintessentially the guy?
No, not really. Interviewing Reagan was always sort of the same. He was a very plain person, and as a matter of fact, if he hadn't been governor or president, he wouldn't have been a particularly interesting person, but a nice one. He would have been the guy next door who you would have borrowed your, you know, the lawnmower or hammer from.
Did you like him personally?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did like him personally, but it wasn't as if you were friends, because I always had the feeling that even, you know, long before his Alzheimer's, that I'm sure he wasn't too sure who I was. And so I was always, even though I was
just another one of these pests from the news media.
Well, I'm sure I was, you know, and so I always took care, no matter how many times I had seen him, to introduce myself to him.
You've been a journalist for a long time, a writer. You've written lots of columns. You're used to kind of summing things up. What do you think is the Reagan legacy? What is the country going to feel about this man 5 years, 10 years?
Socially, he set this country on a very conservative and in many ways destructive course. He based much of his campaigning, especially in the South, which became solidly Republican, on a Southern populist philosophy that I don't want to say was racist, but was very harmful to blacks.
Had racial undertones.
It certainly did. The whole rhetoric of it was an effort to weaken and destroy the civil rights movement. And that's a bad legacy. But mostly what he did was, I guess his final legacy was, he made conservatism respectable. I mean, the conservatives were these oddball bunch of people who were, you know, out there in their backyards in Southern California looking for communism in textbooks and joining the John Birch Society and far out of the mainstream. He said, look it, you've got to be civilized if you're going to win an election. You've got to get Democratic votes as well as moderate Republican votes. So giving the conservative movement respectability probably, I think, was his lasting legacy.
Bill Boyarsky, author of Ronald Reagan, His Life and Rise to the Presidency. Thanks for coming in to speak with us on Day to Day.
Thank you very much.
And that interview from Day to Day is Alex Chadwick.